You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
I'm just going to say this off the bat. This is not a movie about Rent. Don't worry, people, if that was you were concerned about. It's about the playwright of Rent, the composer of Rent, but it's not about Rent. I kept hearing so many people going, I don't want to see that. It's about the Rent guy.
AIDS is so retro.
So 90s. I was halfway through the movie before my partner turns to me and goes, is that song in Rent? And I said, none of these songs are in Rent.
None of them.
Oh, I thought this was about the making of Rent. No.
This is the life of Boba Bobo. This is the life of Boba Bobo. This is the life of Boba Bobo. Bohemia.
Yeah, that's a very misleading way they've been selling. Someone has to be selling that movie this way. But it's not. It is about Jonathan Larson, the writer who wrote the songs for Rent, but it's a very different story. And it's actually based on a different musical called Tick, Tick, Boom that he wrote as an autobiography about his life, which, you know, just a little bit of a prelude here. TC, you were in a production of that, weren't you?
I was. In college, 2004, I was introduced to this show after the Rent had blown up in like 2000, mm-hmm. people just, it was the show.
Mm-hmm. And that would have been like 96, I think, when dude
end of the 90s into 2000, yeah. Like Rent was blowing up.
And oh yeah,
it was everywhere to the point. And I love musical theater, but it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, enough already. It's not that good. And then in 2004, I was in college, and the directing program did excerpts from this show, and I got to be in Therapy, which is the most comedic song. It's a very fun, fast, snappy song.
Yeah. It's the most Stephen Sondheim song of this whole thing.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. 100%.
I'm not mad that you got mad when I got mad when you said I should go drop dead. If I were you and I done what I done, I'd do what you did when I gave you the ring, having said what I said.
So I'm coming at this movie that we're reviewing here with a bias because I already love this show. Mm-hmm. And I'm of the camp of loving Tick, Tick, Boom more than Rent, because there's a lot of overlapping ideas worked out in Tick, Tick, Boom that Jonathan Larson went on to craft Rent around. And I just prefer this raw, passionate, like fringe version of those ideas presented very simply here.
Yeah. And funny, I come from the opposite where I didn't even know this existed until I signed up to review this. And I totally agree that I like this way better than Rent. Yeah. So
it's definitely better than the movie version of Rent.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was awful.
No, and I'd like to dig into that, too.
Why don't we just introduce ourselves quickly? I am Justin Zarian. You're going to be hearing a lot of me today, folks. I got this and King Richard that I'm reviewing, too. So, woo. But then over here, we got Bradley.
Hello. Yeah.
We got TC here.
Hello.
Harmony, do you have anything to add to that?
I'll try. Hello.
Yes. We approve.
I feel like we're going to do like those barbershop things like, hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Hello.
I actually am a singer that was terrible, so I'm very, really ashamed of myself.
Well, Bradley, why don't you try to give us a little bit of a gist here? What is Tick, Tick, Boom about?
Well, you know, it's more about what it isn't about. I'm just kidding. It's nowhere near as pretentious as that. So this man turning 30, John Larson, who is a real man, played by Andrew Garfield.
Also a real man.
Is trying to break out on Broadway, and he's turning 30. Sondheim had already written a smash at 24, was it? And he's 30. So he's feeling the pressures of being a profound playwright too late, or even possibly not at all.
They're singing happy birthday, you just want to
while working at a diner and trying to write to juggle a relationship, and while AIDS is running rampant through the nation, you know, and really trying to pull from his life what exactly makes an artist as opposed to a bleeding heart who just wants to be famous. There's so many ideas in this musical and so many characters that come across as more like real people, real experiences, real stories that these voices can share with the world rather than, you know, and I also have a sick friend. I think it's brilliant, and I'll just leave it at that.
What this movie does as far as biopics is concerned is it doesn't follow the tropes of a biopic.
Not really.
The closest I would compare this to is Rocket Man, because Rocket Man did kind of break some conventions of how to do a music biopic. Mm-hmm. This presents it in a very, very interesting way where it breaks down the theater barriers and the cinematic barriers, and it blends together really nicely, much like what Jonathan Larson did. He says it himself. I'm Jonathan Larson. I'm the new face and sound of musical theater.
I'm the future of musical theater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of what he did, especially with Rent, was pave the way for people like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who directed this movie that mm-hmm. we're reviewing. And this isn't a musical in the tradition of musicals. This is perfect for people who might have a passing interest in musicals, as opposed to Les Miserables, which is musical.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like an old operetta, essentially.
That's an opera, yeah.
This is rock and roll.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that you say Rocket Man, and that's a good comparison, but I would almost say this is more like Chicago in the way that it's structured, especially.
Yeah.
Because it does a lot of that where it's the performance of the stage play mixed in with the actual sequences from the story.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You know, they constantly cut back and forth between Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson performing the show with his backup singers mm-hmm. and then actually acting out the sequences too at the same time.
The things as they were happening.
Yeah.
And then cutting back and forth was brilliant. I loved it.
That's the thing. Lin-Manuel Miranda directing this, because before he's mostly been the playwright for this stuff. You know, when he wrote Hamilton, he wrote In the Heights, but it was always Thomas Cale who directed his stuff. Mm-hmm. Here, I'm shocked that this is his film directing debut, because he's got such confidence in how to use the cameras, how to edit the sequences, how to keep the energy going. Like, I can't think of a single moment where it got boring or slow. Like, there's slower parts when it got dramatic, but you never lose interest in what's happening in the scenes.
I could have watched an hour more of this.
And it stays a musical. There's musical numbers, and they show up, and they're not cut down or butchered or thrown out like Les Miserables, which I liked.
Or like Dear Evan Hansen, which the screenplay is written by the writer who did Dear Evan Hansen. Funny enough.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
Because they threw out a ton of those songs when they translated to film.
I was on that review.
This movie does a couple of amazing things. Cinematically speaking, you are right on the money, Justin. The confidence in Lin-Manuel, the tension and anxiety that's built with that literal ticking clock in Jonathan's mm-hmm. head, how that's represented on the screen. There's a moment of building that leads to a power outage where I'm feeling the anxiety of Jonathan so well that I actually took a moment to acknowledge that Lin-Manuel is slaying it as a director for this film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had those moments where my utilities have been shut off, and I'm just like, oh, that's too real. When that moment you're like, oh, I forgot to pay the water bill. No! Yeah.
But another thing, speaking of the music itself, there's a Howard Ashman quote. I'm going to paraphrase it. Howard Ashman mm-hmm. did Beauty and the Beast. He started working on Aladdin for Disney. Little Shop of Horrors with Alan Menken before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And his feeling about musical theater, and it speaks to the tradition of musical theater and where musical theater thrives, is when words aren't enough, you sing. And when singing isn't enough, you dance. And a lot of musicals fail to comprehend that importance of organically folding songs and musical numbers into a story. And Lin-Manuel thrives at his rap opera that is Hamilton, but In the Heights, he does a good job of following that tradition of you speak, and then it starts coming out of you. like Sondheim, like Stephen Schwartz is another one who thrives at this. If you look to something like Wicked and Tick, Tick, Boom, more than Rent, I think, at least how this movie presents it, does a beautiful job of organically taking you into the musical numbers as opposed to, hey, let's stop for a moment and let's sing.
And then go back. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always hated that about some musicals. Yeah.
Yeah. A thing I also really like about this compared to Rent. Rent, I just got tired of the characters because they're such douchebags.
Tay such Diggs jerks. Is right. Just pay the rent.
Okay, hold on.
Those are 90s people. I feel attacked, Justin.
Yeah, I'm a 90s kid. I grew up in that era.
La Boheme, which is what Rent is based off of, is almost the exact same characters, and they're just as big of assholes. So that's not just
Okay. Don't blame Jonathan Larson.
I've seen the opera. I know the opera. It's very clear that all these people are bastards.
To that point, they cover some similar-ish ideas in here, and yet you always genuinely like the characters. They feel human. They feel relatable. And even in their moments where they're being selfish or dumb in certain cases, they kind of are aware at some point in the story how they've been acting up to that point.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, maybe I am being a little stupid. And I think a lot of that, just, I gotta say, probably one of the single best things in this whole movie, my goodness, Andrew Garfield pulling out the stops to give arguably the best performance I've seen all year so far.
Goosebumps. Oh, he's got award season written all over him for this, and it looks effortless.
Can he make his mark if he gives up his spark? Johnny can't decide.
Well, when I heard he was casted, you guys, I thought, oh, that's a shame, because I hate big names. I hate big names in musicals to draw a crowd. That's why you cast big names. Ryan Gosling, not a great singer in La La Land, for example. But then Andrew belting this first song, Happy Birthday, I was like, whoa, that's incredible.
Where did this come from? Yeah.
How long has Spider-Man been able to sing, and why haven't we heard more of it?
And that's the thing we forget. He's a stage actor first and foremost. He got his big break on the West End and then moving to Broadway.
And he's British.
British.
Yeah. No, he won a Tony Award like a couple years ago for doing Angels in America.
Oh, and here, yes. I have seen
he gets to really show off his skills here as an actor, both in terms of stage performance and cinematic acting.
Yeah, you can all see that on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is that he doesn't usually do his Andrew Garfield-isms that kind of started to surface where it's like the, oh, I'm, you know, Spider-Man, I'm kind of like this. Like, it feels like he feels like he's really trying to emulate the actual Jonathan Larson. It works. It really works.
It's more of that embodying the feelings and the moments and how what he must have been going through.
Yeah. Like the way Christian Bale did Dickie Eklund. Like, he's imitating this man, but he's also a real human being that's breathing life into this performance. It's art. It's alive. I don't want to sound pretentious because this is so good.
This is so good. Like, I don't even know where to, like, like, dumb, like, I, like, messaged, I watched it today. Like, that's how jam-packed everything. And I immediately messaged my two musical theater friends. I'm like, you've got to see this. Like, the moment the credits were over.
Yeah, my wife was out when I watched this because she was at work. And I'm just like, honey, I will watch this again gladly with you when we get the chance. Like, I feel bad because the one that we watched together was, well, you'll hear the review about that one where we're just like, eh, it's okay. This one was the one where I'm like, darn it, we should have swapped it. We should have watched this first, then I watched the other one. Yeah. But it's just so lively. Like, I can't, like, and that's the thing, again, there's a lot of range of musical numbers. It goes from soulful solo pieces to big high-energy a cappella pieces to rap out of nowhere, which was kind of funny.
Just like America on the decline, I'm concerned with the product, just the bottom line. Write for the movies, write for TV, so what if it's crap? At least you won't write for free.
But it's always entertaining to watch, and it's always a thing where they're trying new styles, and yet it's always coherent. There's never a point where the songs feel out of place with each other in this musical.
Right. It's definitely got its own story, and it's got a way of blending these sounds that you can follow along. And even when he's doing something like rap and he's wearing the pink baseball cap, which Jonathan Larson really did, it doesn't feel insulting. It doesn't feel pandering to anybody. Like, it was appropriate for the moment and for the story that he was telling at that moment.
I don't know. I can honestly gush about this movie because from the cinematography being so good to the fantastic editing throughout all of it, great set work, great acting from everybody. Like, there's a big cast in here, and obviously like 98% of this movie is Andrew Garfield. He's in right. every single scene mm-hmm. of this movie. Mm-hmm. But there's some good supporting actors behind him, like Alexandra Shipp as his girlfriend. She gets a few moments to shine in this.
Yep.
Robin DeJesus as Michael, who was really good.
Beautiful.
Vanessa yep. Hudgens took a break from hoping people die from COVID to do this movie too.
We're not going to have to try to convince any musical theater people to watch this That's because true. They're going to watch this. Yes. But if by chance you're a musical theater geek and you have not watched this, there is a song, there's a number in this with
my
at
God.
Least 20 icons of Broadway all making cameos.
I started to cry.
Me too.
And when I started recognizing faces, like
Joel Grey is there, Bernadette right. Peters. I'm just like, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who show up who are like veteran Broadway yeah. actors.
I'm like, hey, I'm mm-hmm, recognizing everybody, mm-hmm. you know.
In the blue, silver chromium diner.
This does obviously play better if you understand stage plays or you sympathize with the creative process, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel like it's dependent on it. You know, like you don't have to know history to enjoy Hamilton.
Right.
Right. In that same way, this one, I think if you can relate to just the struggle of someone trying to make good art and if you just yeah. like musicals, I think you'll really, really dig this movie.
And also that balance of, you know, survival to art to passion to all that stuff. Is really played out very well in this. And like, mm-hmm. it's, I think anybody who has any kind of drive in a creative field, whether it's writing or music or whatever, that this will relate to you. Like you can, it really resonated at least. And I'm like, not even a good writer. Like, like, you know what I mean? So this is like my top movie I've seen so far this year. Honestly, it's amazing.
Yeah. I'm shocked at how much this, you know, I had no expectations going into this movie, and it totally surpassed even my minimalist expectations mm-hmm. for this film. Well, from what I heard from TC, that there were a few bits that were cut from the stage show, correct?
Oh, okay.
Or at least trimmed down?
Yeah, this isn't a one-for-one translation from the stage show. The stage show is actually much more minimalistic. When you see the moments of him standing on the stage with his backup band and the three singers, that's the show. That's right. Tick, yeah. Tick, Boom. The expansion of that into this very cinematic version is an incredible adaptation of what Tick, Tick, Boom is and the life and times of Jonathan Larson, one of the most important musical theater voices of an entire generation. This has awards season written all over it.
Yes.
This is my prediction. There's going to be a push for this, no doubt, for Best Picture, for Best Actor, for Best Director. We watch a lot for this site. One of yeah. us, we watch a lot for this site. And a lot of what we watch on the Screener Squad is made perfectly for that, for screening at home, for watching on your computer, for watching on your TV. A movie right. like this is a rarity for me in the Screener Squad because this belongs on the big screen. Watch mm-hmm. this on the big screen if you can. This is cinema in what it's supposed to be. And I'm excited to see what legs this movie has and if it can capture a different audience than what it's going to obviously get. The musical theater scene is going after this. Right. I want to see if this can expand its audience to people who just have an open mind for what a musical could be.
Or people who just like cinema, because like you said, there are some really poignant cinematic moments that are made here, like the whole swimming pool scene. Like I thought that would have been like how interesting could that be? It made it interesting. You know, like I love that.
I hate this locker room. Why won't Susan answer my calls? Sweat, wet, echo, smell, hell, rap. Pump up the volume, hot, wet, hot, sweat.
Yeah. No, well, why don't we wind down to final thoughts then? Bradley, you want to start us off?
Yes, I do. One, I'm just kidding.
One, the music that I love, and two,
confession. I love Rent. Every time Rent's playing near me, I see it. I saw it in Seattle with my mother-in-law. My wife and her introduced me to it, and I fell in love with it. Love is so powerful in my life. I love anything that talks about it. Crying colicky child at 3 a.m. I used to hold his bottle and baritone him to sleep with "Live in my house, I'll be your shelter," you know, and he would fall asleep to that, to my voice. So yes, just want to say the notes that aren't played are brilliant in this. There's never one time where Larson's like, "Oh, I need one great song before I go. One great song before I say that again. There's no garbage like that in this.
Nope.
And that shocked me. In fact, one thing I'll say that we're going to touch on, my sister Linny is a writer. She writes and she writes and she writes. And I'm like, how's that going? And she's like, I hate it. I freaking hate it. I hate everything. I hate my work. I hate my neighbors. I hate my husband right now. I'm being hyperbolic, of course, but she's like, it's the worst thing in the world until I edit. And then I go, oh, that's right. Editing is the worst thing in the world. And I used to think, kind of a bad attitude here after seeing a scene towards the end of this where someone lays out to Jonathan what an artist and a writer is. Linny, I see you. I see you and I hear you and I'm rooting for you. You're brilliant. I love this show. I'm sorry. I keep giving tens to things that I'm on a review with Justin with. So I'll give this 9 slices of cantaloupe at the end of 10 brunches.
Cages or wings, which do you prefer? Ask the bird. Fear or love? Don't say the answer. Actions speak louder than words. This is a film about art and desire, about passionately following the love that you have in your heart, no matter what anyone says. No one is going to get in your way. I already loved this musical, and I love the music. I love this movie. It spoke to me in my 20s. It spoke to me in my 30s. I just turned 40, and it continues to speak to me as an artist, as a writer, and as a dreamer and a storyteller. This movie is for those people. This is a movie for people who are dreaming so big that it seems impossible, but just can't imagine doing anything else with their life. If you watch this and you're not inspired by the end of it, I would be shocked, because this movie is uplifting. It feels so raw and real. The drama in it is never forced. And even the selfishness that Justin sort of mentioned a little bit earlier, and the self-awareness that characters have, you get it. You see the struggle of these people who are all trying to do what they dream of doing when the world is in their way, both their careers and their health and the love that they have around them. This, I needed this. I've been having a tough go of things lately. I just loved this movie. So watch it as loud and as big as you can, and you are going to feel this movie and be inspired by it. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10 very inconvenient power outages.
Is this real life? Is this real life?
There's not enough good things I can say about this. I was pleasantly surprised. I saw it, you know, signed up for the review because I was a fan of Rent, and it came out while I was in high school, and it was like the big show choir songs would do Seasons of Love, and I did Seasons of Love in 99, and that's like the Sweet Caroline of the drama world.
Oh my God, you're right. You're so right.
Seasons of Love is awful, but it's so good. It's so bad at the same time. But I came into it like not really expecting, like you, Justin, expecting a whole lot. Just, you know, it's like, oh, it's gonna be, I actually didn't even know the music was written by Jonathan Larson until like later on in the show I finally realized, oh wait, this wasn't like Lin-Manuel Miranda writing for something about Jonathan Larson. This is his actual words. I watched this on my cell phone because I was out and about all day, and I'm still gonna give it, like, you know, I'm gonna give it 10 out of 10 viewings on the cell phone, that it really doesn't do it justice.
I was shocked at how much I enjoyed this. I just couldn't stop listening to this after I finished the movie. I paused a couple times in the movie because I watched it at home and started to re-listen to some of the songs. Like, for me, the standout song, in my opinion, was the therapy song in the middle, where it's a double duet thing where you got the two acting scenes, or the two actors, you know, Andrew Garfield and Alexander Shipp talking to each other, and then Andrew Garfield and Vanessa Hudgens singing in between and cross-cutting between these two sequences. And I thought that scene was perfect. Like, that was a perfect adaptation of what they were trying to do with that sequence. And there's just so many other great scenes. The swimming pool scene was fantastic. The actual workshop that they did was fantastic. Even the final number, the big soulful, well, both the final numbers were really, really good.
9 a.m. went to rehearse by some stairs. Mike couldn't sing, but I said, no one cared.
I struggle to think of things I didn't like about this movie. Even the stuff with its central messages and that stuff, they were never overbearing. It was never overdone. It was so clever and smart. And clearly, this was a project that everyone wanted to get involved with. I mean, like you said, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Andrew Garfield. But behind the scenes, too, freaking Ron Howard and Brian Glazer produced this movie, too, with Lin-Manuel. Like, this is a thing where clearly the people who like this really liked this and really wanted to get this made. And it's just, I'm bummed that it's not higher up on Netflix currently watched movies list, because it deserves to be watched more than freaking Cowboy Bebop or whatever is going on there right now. Look, Cowboy Bebop's probably fine, but when I think of something that's art and could really just move you, it's so good. Everyone should enjoy this. So I'm going to give this 10 out of 10 times I squeed when they did Stephen Sondheim stuff.
Yes.
Stephen Sondheim.
Bradley Whitford does a great job as Sondheim.
The actual final thing that Sondheim is featured with, where there's a voice message, is Stephen Sondheim's voice, not the actor. Oh, it's actually the real Stephen Sondheim who recorded that message. Because apparently he actually thought that the way they wrote it originally is like, I wouldn't say it that way. Here, let me show you how I would say it.
That's great.
What an awesome
It's
dude.
So full of nuggets like that. I find new stuff to like about this every time I think about it.
Yeah. There was a lot of like really neat nuggets. Like the obviously when you're in an outage, you have a candle, but immediately you think of the candle scene in Rent, or when the answering machine saying
speak.
It's amazing, guys. I don't know what to say. It's just so good. Let's sing our way out.
All right, everyone, pick a song and just start going.
Fear or love, baby, don't say the answer. Actions speak louder than